Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
You know, Christian walk, sometimes we have a vision of where we should be and who we should be as Christians. I know I do. And, you know, we have this idea that we should be doing certain things at a certain time or kind of being better than what we're actually doing. And, you know, we also think that, you know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, or I could do all things through Christ. We throw out all these things that are amazing and are true. But then we come to the reality of where we're at. We kind of look around and go, oh, but I'm not quite in step with the Spirit as often I would like to be, or I'm not where I would like to be in life, in mission. I may not be as obedient to the call of God. I may not be as obedient to the promptings of God. And you kind of get disillusioned, you know, of where you should be and where you are. And that creates a bit of doubt. It kind of causes stress. You're thinking, am I actually doing as well as I should be? Am I actually a Christian that God has called me to be? Am I good enough? We begin to ask all these questions. And then we go through struggles, we go through certain things, and there's a lot of times we react or respond in ways that we're like, man, am I really doing that well? Am I really, you know, living out the call of God, living out of the ways of God? And that could cause quite a bit of tension. It could cause quite a few issues. But church, I'm here to encourage you today, because the reality is we are in a warfare. We are playing a game that is tough. While we have the victory, while we are saved in Jesus, while we have the mission of God in our lives, and while we're living in redeemed lives, we are still in the trenches. We are still fighting the battle. It's like playing a football game. You know you've got the victory, but you're going to get bummed. You're still getting tackled. You're like, the game's not over yet. So we live with the victory in mind, but we still have to play the game. And the reality is, in warfare, it's all about strategy. It's all about trying to take as much ground as you can. It's all about trying to have every advantage that you can get to win. It's all about trying to take as much territory as you can. It's all about trying to expand your dominion over the people. It's all about doing these things. And church, hear my heart. I'm not here to make light of the things that are happening in the current world right now. But it's actually to put our attention to the seriousness of the war that we are in anyway. Because the spiritual and the natural always partner together. And I want us to understand that we are in the warfare, because if we don't realize we are, that we're just going in ignorant and blind to all the things that could come. We're just passive to the things that may come. So I'm here to assert some ground today in our spiritual warfare. And the thing is, as I mentioned, you know, we get disillusioned because we have issues that come our way. We have things that come our way. There's always going to be collateral damage in warfare. You're always going to have some bruises, some bumps, some things that may happen as a result. That doesn't mean that you've lost the victory. It doesn't mean that you've lost your place. It doesn't mean that you've lost your position. It just means that you're going through something and feeling the collateral damage. Does anyone see what I'm saying? But one of the biggest things when it comes to warfare, one of the pivotal pieces of war, is a place called stronghold. A stronghold is usually a fortified place that is in a prominent position to give every advantage to the community that the stronghold is for. So it might be on the cliff edges so that it's hard to get to for the enemy and they can see what's happening in the seaside. It's heavily fortified so that people can't just get into it easily. But it gives access for people in the community to go into and take refuge. It might be in a prime position in front of land in front of it so they can see when someone is coming, and people watching and protecting the community can see the enemy's coming and they can react really quickly. So it's usually in a prime position where they could have a defensive advantage and protect the community, but also an offensive advantage that they could stop the enemy in their tracks. So a stronghold is actually a very pivotal part of the strategy when it comes to a community. You're not going to just put it in the middle with the community around it because they're just going to attack the people outside in. So it's actually on the front foot. It is a sanctuary. It's a refuge. And when we hear strongholds, what do we really think? I want to ask you that question later as well. Because we're going to go to what the Bible says first. It says in Psalms 9, verse 9 to 10, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. In Psalms 144, verse 2, He is my loving God, my fortress and my stronghold, my deliverer and my shield, in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Joel 3:16 says, But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. Nahum 1, verse 7, The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. So the Bible is referring to God as the stronghold that we could take refuge in. The Bible is saying that we could trust that he would be unstoppable and immovable at the same time. But the question I asked earlier, when we think of strongholds, what do we think of? Language is important. Language will dictate how you communicate something to yourself. When we think of strongholds, we think of things that have a hold over us. Addictions, habits, cycles, emotional disappointment, bitterness, unforgiveness, as mentioned earlier. Attacks, oppression that may come upon us. When you talk to a Christian, you're more likely to hear, oh, I have this stronghold over me that's trying to take me away from God. So you can see that there is a gap between what the Bible just said when it came to God is a stronghold that we stand in, to us communicating, oh, I'm just fighting these battles and it's a stronghold over me. So I'm here to change some language today. The Holy Spirit is here to do some heart surgery today when it comes to strongholds and where we stand and position ourselves in this warfare. Amen? So strongholds are important in warfare because in the battle we run to strongholds. That's the first thing we go to. We go to a place of security and go, okay, I need a place of safety. I'm going to stand in this position and I'm going to fight and I'm going to defend. Whatever I need to do, I will do it. So we run to strongholds. In the chaos of the battle, we know that there is a position of stronghold that we go to. In the same way as we navigate the chaos of life, as stuff happens, we run to something. We run to something. And the thing is, we are made of emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, natural, supernatural, all these things. When we are impacted in some way, in one of those areas, we run to something. We run to something. And that place we run to is a stronghold. So the problem that we have is where we run to other strongholds instead of God. And I say that with such grace, because I do the same thing. But as I know, as I read the Word, as I learn who my God is, I begin to understand that I need to intentionally start running to God as my stronghold, as a place of refuge. Now, the reason why we run to different things is because we run to things of the natural to nourish us. So we often say that addiction is a result of we face an issue, we have an unpleasant or negative emotion, so we run to something to numb us, and therefore we feel better. And then that becomes a cycle of, you know, we have another issue that comes up, an argument, or something didn't happen, we run to that addiction to nourish us and numb us. That becomes a stronghold. So the question is, what can we do? What do we need to do to change that? What do we need to do to allow us to ensure that we are running to the stronghold instead of the little strongholds in our life that are not feeding us the way it should be, that are not leading us where we should be going? And before I get into my first point, I want to share an illustration that I heard. I was like, that is key. It was from Jordan Peterson. I was listening to a podcast someone recommended to me. And he was saying that the way we live in this world, we fuel it through a story of our beliefs and what's happening. And that perception leads us in our actions of what we're doing. And he painted this beautiful picture saying that, you know, we're standing at the ocean or we're in the ocean, we're swimming, and it's just chaos. It's just waves crashing. You know, you look at the distance, you can't see the end of the ocean because it's so wide and fast and deep. You know, it's so overwhelming to a mere human being to stand at the shore and go, I'm going to go in there and just try and swim through. Good luck. You probably will never make it. And he was saying in the same way, in the chaos of life, there's so much that's happening. Who am I to try and even do something? Who am I to try and even make my way through this life? You know, politics, religion, opinions, social media, making your way through your work, career, family, relationships, all these things. Who am I to try and swim? And that's what brings so much anxiety, stress in our generations now. Because they're looking at the ocean going, I can't do anything in this life because it's just too much. But then Jordan Peterson said, we need to go into our boat and focus on our boat that is our stronghold and swim where it takes us. Navigate the waves through. So instead of being focused on the ocean or what's happening, we are to be focused on the safety and the security of our boat. And I thought it was such a beautiful picture because he was saying was, the people who do not know Jesus don't have that boat. I was like, wow. They're trying to grapple onto things. They're trying to grapple onto people. They're trying to grapple onto something that will give them some sort of firm foundation. Well, there's none. So they take themselves out of the game because it's too much. But they said, we have a boat that we can navigate the oceans with, and we can go where the wind blows, and we can get to a place where God has called us to be. And that's what I want to talk about today. How do we get into that boat? How do we focus on that boat? And how do we go where God has called us to be? So I'm going to be reading from Colossians 3, if you've got your Bibles. It says in Colossians 3, Paul's talking about how Jesus is the supreme authority. It's talking that Jesus has done all things, and in all things, you have all things. And then he starts calling them to action. This is what you are to do as you are living, as made alive in Christ. It says in chapter 3, verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. So my first point today is we need to dwell in the presence of God. We need to dwell in the place of God. I love how he says you need to set your heart on things, set your mind on things. Where you set, you will settle. That's a word for someone today. We need to dwell in that place where we set our eyes, our heart on. And that we need to dwell so deeply in God, in Jesus Christ, that where he goes, we go. Where he appears, we appear. We need to dwell in that place of God. And a small example of dwelling in that place was a story that happened. I went on a holiday in Bali, came back. I was there for a week, came back, and I had another week before I went back to work. And this was just before I turned 30. And the first day I came back, I got hit with all these allergy reactions that I've never had before. And I was like, what's going on? My feet are hot. My knuckles are itchy. I'm like, man, what's going on? You know, I had no idea what was happening. And my sister, who has had some experience, had some Telfast. She gave me one. It kind of subdued a bit. And I was praying. I was like, God, I don't know what just happened. Just praying over my body, praying over my skin, and praying over peace. I was like, all right. Next day, it happened again. You know, allergy reaction, boof. I'm like, what's going on? I'm now at a cabin in the woods by myself. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to enjoy my holiday before I turn 30, before I get back to work. And I'm getting all these rashes, you know. Again, I take a Telfast and I pray, peace of God over my body, over my mind. Because stress and anxiety started to come. Because I have no control over this. I'm like, am I now going to be having to deal with skin issues? Because I don't know what was triggering it. I went to the doctors, got a blood test, because I wanted to check if there was something I could do. So I was partnering the natural with the supernatural. I'm praying the peace of God. I'm praying as I wake up, God, give me a good day. I'm stressed out. And God, help me sleep and rest. Third day, I break out into hives. I'm like, man. You know, I'm scratching. I'm taking photos. I'm sending them to someone. I'm like, man, I don't know what's going on. Can you tell me what's happening? Again, I'm still praying, peace of God, you know, calm my stress levels, calm my anxiety. You know, I want to enjoy my time here and relax, and I want some answers. What's going on? I take a Telfast, and I'm praying. So again, partnering in the supernatural and the natural. And then the fourth day, I just took a Telfast straight away, so it didn't happen again. And then I was praying again because stress and anxiety was still there. And then I think about the fifth or sixth day, started to feel the presence of God, started to feel the peace of God, started to feel a bit more settled because I was dwelling in that place of God. I was dwelling in the sanctuary of God and praying. And I also bought a box of Telfast for my car and box at home just in case something happens. And let me tell you, that box is still in my car, unopened, and that box is still at home, unopened. Praise God. Do I know what happened? No. All the blood levels came back, nothing was off, and I was like, I have no idea what happened. But that kind of threatened to derail my anxiety, stress, into a place of panic and what's going on, what do I need to do? but I chose to dwell in the peace of God. I began to speak peace over my life. And who knows what happens? I don't know. But all I know is that God is good and that God is faithful. Amen? So the question that I have is, as we dwell in the presence of God, as we build ourselves up in the sanctuary of God, hold on tightly to the word of God and drink from the living waters, where are you dwelling? As you're building yourself up in your Christian walk, as you're drinking from the living waters for healing and all the things that God brings, where are you actually dwelling? Where are you actually residing in? Where are you settling? The question again is, how do you know where you're dwelling? How do you know? If you ask yourself a question, you might be going, I actually don't really know. It might be a mixture. But the answer to that is, where do you run to when something happens? Where do you go to when things happen? What's your first point of action and response when something happens? That place is where you dwell. That place is where you go to. That place is your security. If it's other than God, then we're going to do something about it today. Amen? And what I want to bring to you today is the understanding that we should be doing things in Christ. That in Christ we are being refreshed and restored. And that through Christ we are being sanctified in that process. And because of Christ, we are going somewhere. I did this because of Christ. I am because I'm in Christ. And I have because through Christ. So we need to be dwelling in that place of security, of being so firm in God, so embedded in God, that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will appear him in glory. So as we start to think about where we go to, in places of chaos and trouble, some of you might say, I dwell in the place of God. I pray, I worship, I'm in the body of Christ. Amen. Awesome. Love it. Just because you're in a place of stronghold doesn't mean things won't happen. As I mentioned at the very, very start, we say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ. I've been set free. He who's set free is free indeed. But then we get shocked when something happens. We get shocked. We're like, I shouldn't be going through this. I have a crooked knee. I shouldn't be feeling. I should be healed straight away. I'm struggling with these addictions or habits that I don't even want. And I've been praying over for years and years and years. Maybe something's wrong with me. That's where the disillusion comes. But the reality is, as we come to God and stand in the stronghold, things still happen. We still have an enemy coming against us that we need to watch out for, that we need to deal with. Because if we don't, it will deal with us. And that's why I wanted to paint the idea that we are in a warfare. We need to stay alert. If you read the New Testament, all Jesus is saying, stay alert, be on guard. Have wisdom attacked. Be shrewd as snakes, but lovely as doves. So he's saying, don't just be lovely as doves and just going out and then you get hit with something. So we need to understand that we have the power and we have the authority, but at the same time, we need to be mindful of the collateral damage and also the enemy that's trying to take land from us. And that's why we wage war in prayer. That's why we lean on God in times of trouble. And we receive wisdom and guidance from him and also from us so we can know how to advance and pursue. Amen. I remember a time maybe 5 years ago, I was getting disillusioned. I was asking these questions, I should be here, but I'm here. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting burdened by the weight that I'm carrying. I was getting tired of thinking this, but then this was happening. And I remember I was just worshiping God. I was like, man, what is going on? You ever have those moments? Just come to God, you're like, what is going on? Nothing is matching up. And then he said the words to me that I'll never, ever forget. He said, son, you're carrying the wrong weight. It's like, what do you mean? So you're trying to control the outcomes. You're trying to control the outcomes of what you want in life. You're trying to control the outcomes from people so that you could get to where you want. You can't control that. But what you need to do is take off that weight, let me take care of it, and you start controlling what you can, which is yourself. Which is standing firm in that stronghold, building yourself up as you drink from him, as you drink from his word. And also leading yourself in the responses that you have to people, in maturity, with grace and mercy, but also in authority. And that shifted in my understanding of how I navigated in life. I began to throw off the weight that was burdening me, And I began to pick up what I was called to pick up. And through that, it was a sword of the Spirit and the Word of God and my own heart and life. And through that, I was able to start fighting the wars that I needed to fight. I started to be in step with the Spirit. I started to step into the things that God wanted me to step through. I've still gone through things, but now, because I'm carrying the right things, the right tools, the right way, with the right focus on God, I'm able to start fighting those battles. And that's a word for someone today. Don't carry the wrong weight. Because we are still in the fight. We need to look for bruises, broken bones, stress, trauma, all these things that could cause us to lose sight of where we are and who we are. A funny story that I felt prompted to share, it's not in there. It's that the first thing that you want to do when you want to throw someone off is you get into their heads. Whether you're playing sport, you bicker in their ear, try throwing them off their game. And the enemy does that to us. And a funny story was I went on a hike by myself in Warburton, maybe a few years ago. Just looked up on Google, and he said, this hike is great. So I'm trekking through this spot. And then for some reason, I think I went to check on Google something about, you know, different directions and stuff. And I started reading the reviews. Great trek, but be careful of the leeches. I'm not experienced with leeches. I didn't prepare for the fact that there are leeches. I don't know anything about leeches but apart from the fact that they're leeches. So I had no knowledge, no preparation, and I started panicking. So I rolled my socks, my big hike socks, around my pants. I thought that would do it. And then the next Google review said, I started Googling how to avoid leeches. And it said, tight socks don't help. They're getting somehow. So I'm walking with these tight pants, with socks around it. And I've got my shirt tucked in and my jumper tucked in. And I said, that would do it. It said, they'd get in somehow. And they were saying that if there's a body of water where the leeches are, I was like, look, I'll just jump over it. And then maybe I'll run and then I'll jump. They won't catch me. And they said, they feel your vibration somehow, get in anyway. I was like, because I didn't prepare, I was like, how do you get leeches off in case you do it? And they were saying like salt and stuff. Like, I didn't have any of those things. I'm in the middle of nowhere going, man, I don't know what to do. I'm stressing. I'm trying not to think about the leeches. And then all of a sudden I said, look, I'll feel it. And if I feel it, I'll take it off straight away. And they said, you go in the trek and you come out, you've got 10 leeches on you that you didn't realize. But I can't feel it. I can't get away from it. I can't do anything about it. I'm like, what do I do? Then all of a sudden, I start feeling things around my body because it's just mentally, I'm like, what if I have one right now that's just sucking all my blood? And then by the time I finish this trek, it's like massive. So I'm stressing. I'm like, man, do I turn around? Do I not? I feel I've got something on me. I need to take my clothes off and I need to do. I'm stressing. I'm like, what if I have one right now? I'm looking at my socks. I'm like, and all of a sudden, I'm like, no, I have to turn around. I turn around. I'm like, I need some peace. I need to find out if I have something on me. So I went to the car park, the big car park, found a little nook, and then in the middle of Victoria, Great East, took off all my clothes till I was naked as I came out of my mother's womb. There was nothing on me. It was all mental. But that just shows how much the mental aspect of things, how much of the things that we meditate on, something affect our response and affect our fear. Which brings me to my next point. As we dwell in the place of God, as we fight our battle, we need to dust off the things that are affecting us. We need to dust off the things that are taking us out of the game. We need to start putting off the things that we need to put off and put on what God has called us to put on. Too many of us are trying to drag these things into the stronghold with a heavy bag going, hey, I've got this just in case, and then we're trying to worship them. This thing is affecting us. There is no other space for something else other than God in his stronghold. I want to read Colossians 3, verse 5 to 11. It says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you also must rid of yourself in all things. As these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with these practices and have put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile, Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ, because of Christ, through Christ, in Christ. We need to start tearing down the things that are actually distorting our view of God and our view of ourselves and view of other people. God said, have no other gods before me, no other idols before me. Not because he's selfish, but because he knows that in God we have the pure eye to see him and us. But anything that comes in between that will literally impact how you see God and how you see yourself. Anything, even something so small, because that's how holy God is. He has created us to be with him and have nothing else but him. And I want to share a story that we had, I think it was last year, we had a group of boys with Pastor Steve. We had a little book club going. It was pretty cool. It was about things to do to set your life up before you're 30. So I just made the cut. And in that story, I was just talking about responsibilities and way we navigate life, and that we can't just keep leading in our youth and making mistakes and then letting that mistake impact our lives as we turn 30 and onwards. And we started to get into the topic of sex, relationships and marriage and all that kind of stuff. And without anyone prompting, all of us boys started sharing our struggles with, you know, women and pornography, you know, because we're so saturated by this in our society. No one really started that topic. We just started opening it up. And then before we realized, everyone was kind of going through the same thing. What was in isolation, what thought it was just me, it was actually everyone else. But what was even more powerful was, as we did that, again, no one really said anything in terms of what I'm saying now. Kind of looked at each other and said, okay, he's going through that. But we don't want to go through that anymore. We kind of made an unspoken agreement that we don't want this. And we're talking years and years and years and years of this impacting us. But in that conversation, there was something that was torn and ripped and shredded. Because I could safely say 80% of these men are now set free. No prayer, nothing, just a stand of going, we are living for God, in God, through God. We don't want that anymore. And we kind of just went, let's tear it down. It's pretty amazing. And the reason why it was such a stronghold was we were actually feeding ourselves nourishment from that. We were going, okay, you know, I'm going through this in life, the stresses of life, I'm going to nourish myself. And that becomes a stronghold where we isolate ourselves. We do it by ourselves. We find comfort. And what did we talk about last week? Comfort. We look for comfort. We're away from the world. And we start to just numb ourselves. But what God calls us is to stand in his stronghold, to deal with the things that are impacting us. And what that does, it leads us to maturity. What did we talk about last week? Maturity. So when we let God deal with the emotions that we're dealing with, we learn how to regulate those things, learn how to put those things in its proper place, and as a result, we grow. So we're no longer numbing, but we're nourishing. So we need to understand that we need to tear down the things that we face in life that rob us from our relationship with God. Because that was part of the issue. We look at this, we worship God, we know that God is good, and then we go to this, we're saying, we're not, it's impacting our relationship with God, it's impacting our relationship with ourselves and with other people. But once we got rid of that, we began to dwell, and we began to dust off the things, and we began to put on the things that God has called us to put on. I want to share two stories in the Bible, two kings. The first one is 1 Kings 15, if you're taking notes. The second one is 2 Kings 18. 2 Kings, Asa and Hezekiah. So in all of Kings, there were all these horrible kings that were setting up all these idols and trying to do all these things to lead the community, to lead the congregation, to lead the people. But most of them did evil in the sight of God. But there were two kings, Asa and Hezekiah. They both did what was right in the sight of the Lord. They did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Asa began to tear down certain thrones that were set up, certain poles that were set up for worship. He expelled the male shrine prostitutes from the land. He got rid of the idols. He even got rid of his grandmother because she had built something that was repulsive. So family was not an issue for him. It was God first and then everything else under him. Hezekiah did the same thing. He tore down everything else. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Now Asa, he kept a high place untouched because he thought, I might need that later. And then he brought all the gold and silver and all the things that brought it to God. So he did what was right at the sight of the Lord. Hezekiah tore it down because he said, I have no place for that apart from what God wants. Now, if you look at the second half of that story, Asa started to go down the wrong road. Maybe it's because he compromised in a certain area. He let one little stronghold to stand, and that ended up being his downfall. And my heart cries out because I love Asa. I love what he did. But then I read that second half of the story, I'm like, man. But Hezekiah, to the end of his life, did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he says, he held fast to the Lord and did not stop following him. He kept the commands the Lord had given Moses, and the Lord was with him. He was successful in whatever he undertook. So you can see the difference. They tore down everything else. One man left one thing up. The other one tore everything down and gave everything to God. One was successful, one wasn't. One was successful and the other one wasn't. So we need to start dusting off the things that do not serve us. We need to start removing things and tearing down the strongholds that are trying to take us away from God. So as we speak the language of strongholds, I'm battling this stronghold. Or we say, I'm standing firm in this stronghold and I'm going to destroy or tear down. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to tear it down. And in part of this process, I was getting confused with the authority, power of living for God and fighting these things. I was trying to work out, you know, if I'm a good Christian, I shouldn't have any temptation or any issues or any distraction. I should be able to go all for God. And he said, well, you need to start dusting off these things. You need to start speaking out against these things. So in my prayer time, I began to change. And I start thinking about even the smallest things. And people might say, you're being too hard on yourself. It's actually not. It's bringing awareness to my spirit what I may be dealing with. Again, communication and awareness so important in the battle. So I began to enter my time with God and say, God, I dust off distraction. I dust off a pursuit for work and money to make me feel like I'm busy, to make me feel like I'm important. I dust off my ego. You know, it's not about me, it's about you. And I knew that the church was in trouble today because I started to get a bit of an ego on Wednesday, and then my knee buckled under me, popped, my slide up flew like miles away. They thought I was faking it, but literally my whole knee buckled, twisted it, fell down. And then it was like Jacob with a hip, and he called him Israel. So I was humbled in that moment. But I started to pray over these things. Lord, make sure I'm not pursuing money. Make sure I'm not pursuing people. Make sure I'm not pursuing titles. But let me pursue you alone. Lord, make sure I'm not going to pornography, food, Netflix, comforts of the world. Lord, help me not rely on my financial status to give me security. Help me not rely on my wealth to make me feel safe. But Lord, I take off these things and I put on what you want me to put on. Amen. And the rest of Colossians 3, from chapter 3, verse 12, he says you need to remove all these things, for you once walked in these ways. But he says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, which is set apart and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against something, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Amen, Allison. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ, what does it say? Dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word, in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. We are to dwell in the presence of God. We are to dwell in the place of God. We are to throw off everything that hinders us, and we are to put on what God has called us to put on. And I wanted to read one more verse before we come to a time of prayer, worship, and the Holy Spirit to do his thing. If I have the worship team to come up. It says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to what? Demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So there's an important picture that Paul paints. We can set up arguments and pretensions against God that try and stand against God. And he only has a power that we give power to. So we can start adding things into our lives or start playing with things into our lives and letting it stand itself up against God. And it will stand as long as we let it stand. But the issue is that it is only a pretension. It is only something. It is so minute compared to the power and the glory of God as a stronghold. It's so minimal. But the reality is we let too many strongholds stand. And I know this for a fact because I've done it in my own life. In the language that I speak, I've fighted this thing. I'm not saying that your life is going to be 100% clear of danger and issues. But what I am saying is we need to start giving more power to the power of God than we do to the things that we're fighting. We need to start standing in the place of God, start praying, and start living out, and start speaking out the word of God, and start actively removing the things that cause us to be away from God or that cause us disillusionment. We need to start dusting off these things, and we need to demolish these arguments that set itself up against the knowledge of God. And at the very end, he says, and take captive every thought that stands against him. That literally is a picture of grabbing it and throwing it to the ground. It's not just you're sitting there, oh, no, that's not really a good thought. Next one. We need to take captive every thought that stands itself against God. So, church, this is your come to Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.